With us this morning on the phone is Beth Olson, Cass County Director of Public Health. Beth, good morning.
Hey, how are you today?
Well, pretty good. Well, we're at a kind of a critical point in time now. We've kind of been marking points in time with the COVID situation that we've been working through with different events that come along. We had closures, we had reopenings, we had good times, we've had some difficult times and things to work through at different points. But now we're at another critical point where schools around the area are largely all back in session. And once we start putting a lot of people together in confined spaces, even the best laid plans, well, you know how that goes. We always have variables, right?
Absolutely.
It's so hard. I know they've spent so much time at the administrative level, at the school board level, at the staffing level, even at the parental level. So many people have had some input in how this was going to work out, what the proper procedures would be, and then they've got backup plans for backup plans and things. It's been a long process. How much consultation has your department been in helping this process along?
A lot. Yeah, and, you know, but we're happy to do that. And, you know, we're fortunate to have those working relationship with schools. I know it's not that way in every county, and I'm really thankful that we do have administrators and school nurses that are willing to work with public health and, you know, respect and trust our guidance and, you know, that they trust that we are, you know, giving them the best tools and guidance that we have to have a successful school year.
Is this one of the more critical junctures in this whole process since we're putting a bunch of people back together again?
Yeah, and, you know, I've said that a few times, is it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks and months, and especially headed into the cold and flu season. I mean, here we are with hundreds of kids that we've kept, you know, away from each other, you know, primarily. Of course, there were some summer sports and that sort of thing. But, you know, we've had these hundreds of kids away from each other, you know, since March when school shut down. And now we're, you know, having to find ways to safely bring everyone back under the same roof for instruction again.
You bet. Well, we've talked with a number of school superintendents around the area, and most of them are telling us a lot of the same things. We see a lot of similarities in their plans, their backup plans, and their backup plans. Is that because there's been a lot of coordination and guidance?
Yeah, the Department of Education and Iowa Department of Public Health have worked closely together in giving us a lot of those reopening guidance documents. And you know, even when it comes down to, you know, six students in school and what do we do, and we have an algorithm for, you know, what the school nurses are following and what public health is following. And that's been really critical, because if we were on two separate pages, it would be really hard to work together and get the job done well. So it's been nice to have those, you know, kind of conjoined documents from the Department of Public Health as well as the Department of Education to move forward with, you know, how we reopen and do school safely in our county.
Sure. Well, Beth, I want to get right to the meat of things, because I know a question that a lot of folks have been asking us a lot, and sometimes I guess you get kind of different answers, or maybe no answer, because nobody really knows until it happens. But, you know, we're going to see some things, I'm sure, happen as germs get passed around. But what would potentially cause a school district to have to start making radical changes, like, you know, closures,
sure,
going to all online, or doing something other than what they're doing right now? What would be the baseline for that?
Yeah, so we were given, you know, some standards on what, how, at what point a school would have to back off from those activities. And, you know, maybe it means not traveling to you know, neighboring counties for sports activities. Maybe it means not holding, you know, music or band concerts in the evening. And so we have some pretty outlined guidance based on the percentage of spread in a community that we have. And you can always find that percent positive analysis for our county and for all the counties in Iowa on that coronavirus map that we've been talking about for months now. You know, so Cass County, they have us just under the 7% range now. That puts us in the minimal to moderate spread and for community transmission. And so from there, we know that, you know, we should still be doing school on site, you know, besides for students who are in or staff who would be in quarantine, or maybe parents have chose to keep those kids home for the time being. You know, once we get up to 15 or 20% or greater than 20% of spread in our county, then we're going to start talking with the Iowa Department of Public Health, the Department of Education, and that district to look at, you know, is our positivity rate high because there's an issue in a particular school building, or is it the whole school district that we're seeing high numbers across, or, you know, is there something else going on in the community as to why our numbers are so high? So, you know, if there was, you know, an outbreak at a large employer or a nursing home, you know, or some other entity that's caused those numbers to skyrocket, or is it our school-based population that is, you know, why we're seeing those numbers creep up? So there's a lot of things that have to play into that. The schools, you know, would have to request the like virtual or home learning once we get to a certain percent. And then, like I said, once it gets higher than 20%, then they expect that we would be working, the students would be working from home if our county ever got up to that percentage rate. So
sure.
There's a lot of pieces that go into that. But, you know, I think all the school administrators, as well as I, you know, we're looking at that percent positivity rate over the past 14 days and monitoring it. It's been trending down now, which makes sense if you look at our numbers. We're really not following that many active cases right now. So it's kind of a moving target every day that has to be evaluated.
Well, and how much of this has to be taken on an individual basis? The example, I guess, would be here in Cass County, for example. We have three school districts, and they're all different. Griswold is one building. Everybody's in the same building in one community.
Right.
Here in Atlantic,
right.
Everybody's in one community but in different buildings. And in Cam, everybody's right. In a different building and in different
yes.
communities. So you have three kind of different
yep.
situations. So do you look at those differently?
Yes. We do. And so it's not black and white. And I know some people want that, you know, this is black and white, it is or it isn't, and it's not. Because just like what you said, I mean, you could have, say, one school district has been hit particularly hard. A school district on the other side of the county probably doesn't need to shut down just because a school district on the other side has a lot of cases and vice versa. So or like I said, maybe you have an outbreak at an employer or a nursing home or somewhere else. You might not need to shut down school because of, you know, something else going on in the community. It's really going to depend on what's impacting that school. And, you know, the school nurses are used to reporting their absenteeism rate. They do this every year, all the time, anytime they have greater than 10% absenteeism. And so that reporting to the Department of Public Health is broken down a little bit more this year. So it's, you know, how many students do you have out that are actually ill, or what are they ill with? You know, do they have a GI bug, or are they out with COVID? As well as, you know, how many of your students are out because they're in quarantine versus, you know, they're actually ill with something. So there's a lot of factors that play into this. It's not black and white. And when it is time to make those decisions or have those conversations, we will work closely with our community partners as well as the Iowa Department of Public Health and the Department of Education.
Well, and to make this work, it's more than just what happens in school, right? It's also what happens at home and once we leave the school buildings.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We have to continue to take those certain precautions. So is it kind of the same stuff that we've been talking about, those same key points that we've been talking about for the last several months in keeping this working?
It is. And I've had people say, you know, we're kind of sick of your messaging. You need a new message. And I said, but my message hasn't changed. So, you know, I might be a squeaky wheel. I understand that. But, you know, social distancing, when you can't do that, I would ask people to wear a mask, extra good hand hygiene. And the biggest thing I have to keep stressing is stay home, even when you're mildly ill. I've had so many people just think that their symptoms are allergies because we are in a high allergy peak for a lot of people right now. Think twice about that right now. You know, there's just, we know that COVID can cause very mild symptoms. And in some people, that mimics their seasonal allergies. So I really just am begging people to think twice about, any of those symptoms that they might be experiencing other than what they would feel on a normal, healthy day. I cannot stress that enough right now.
So is it safe to say that this can work? We're not asking you to shut your lives down, but we might have to make some modifications to make it successful.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Very good. Well, I guess if we all play nice, we can have a successful start to the school year.
That's
excellent.
Right.
All right. Well, Beth, thank you so much for the time and all that you and your staff do. We appreciate it. I know it's been busy work here, especially the last month or so. It seems like things have gotten a little busier, and hopefully it all settles down and we go back to talking about other things, like flu season.
That's right. We're hopeful for, a little bit different conversation and a break from COVID. So we've appreciated a little, lower COVID work the past week or so. So we were needing a reprieve from that. So
very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.